celebration. He's the reason gifts are given. He's the reason lights are strung up. Throughout the entire event surrounding the birth of Christ, there are gifts that are given. God gives some amazing gifts as well. In our scripture passage, we read about Elizabeth. Elizabeth recognizes that she's highly favored because she's involved in God's plan. She gives the gift. Watch the gift that she gives. She gives the gift of understanding to Mary. God has great plans, and sometimes it looks weird. God gives great gifts. Sometimes it's not what you think. They look different than what's under the Christmas tree or what's being peddled at the department store. It's different than even what you might expect. Joseph gives an incredible gift to Mary. He gives the incredible gift of faithfulness to Mary. In spite of his own wonderings, his own confusion, he gives honor, integrity, and trust. God provides Joseph with an encouragement. God gifts Joseph, provides him with a gift of encouragement and instruction for him. It's a tremendous gift that God has given to Joseph. Mary offers herself and delivers the gift of the Christ. Have you ever considered that your patience is a gift given? How about your understanding to someone who's hurting, the lost, or in pain? The gift of your faithfulness, a gift of integrity. How about the gift of just a listening ear? You know how many times I've been, "You're an awesome pastor." I didn't say a word. I just listened. How about, we know this one, the gift of your time. Did you ever think of your time as a gift that is given? Are you ready for this one? The gift of your own body. The gift of your own body. Talk about intimacy. Talk about a gift given. God gave himself. God gave himself. Talk about the importance of intimacy. Christmas, the birth of Christ, the greatest gift given to humanity, God's gift of understanding, of redemption, of forgiveness. Yet, this great birth that we celebrate, not so much at that time. Here's your slide for you. Not all gifts given are accepted. At that time, it seemed that only the heavens were rejoicing and honoring. God had made all the party arrangements himself. Legions of angels had circled the skies and sang about his birth. Wise men from the east studied the stars, observed the unusual phenomenon in heaven, and came with their gifts. Shepherds said, "Let's go and see and worship in adoration." Rulers heard about this tremendous birth and became fearful. Rulers heard about this birth and became afraid. Anger filled their hearts. Murder was conceived and plotted against the gift. Demons trembled. Satan was enraged. Every diabolical plan that evil could devise was planned. Anything to disrupt the party. Anything to disrupt the birth, the gift to humanity. All hell was aligned against the gift being given. All hell was aligned against the arrival of this gift to humanity. Why is it always a spiritual battle? Why is it always in a dimension that's other than your flesh? Why can you not see, experience, and feel the other dimension that's bigger than your flesh? God has empowered you to do so. God, in all his majesty, is watching what's going on. The world has been trying to take Jesus out of the world before he ever even arrived. Church, don't you ever fret. Don't you ever fret. Jesus, people have been trying to take Jesus out of the world. They can't do it. Never been able to do it. Never will be able to do it. You keep Christ in your heart. You keep Christ in your heart. And you celebrate his birth. There's no doubt Mary's pregnancy set off a scandal in her hometown. It nearly led to the breakup of their relationship with Joseph. He wanted to divorce her quietly. But God gave a gift. Mary travels away for a while. This is where she goes and sees Elizabeth. Was she sent away? Did she choose to go away? All I know was there was talk around every corner about her. Every market that she went into, people avoid her. Lots of whispers, casual glances. You know the glances of judgment people give when you don't meet their expectations of what they think you ought to be. Not the right clothes. That's not the right kind of hairstyle. Condemning, judging. Oftentimes the church is the worst. Maybe escapes, right, Mary? Maybe Mary, just maybe. Mary escapes. Maybe Mary just decides, I need to get away. And she goes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, who's pregnant too. Miraculously, in her old age, she should not be pregnant, but there she is. She's pregnant. She knows her own gift. Does anybody know who she's pregnant with? John the Baptist. Woo, we got some flame foam going. Just blow it out. We got more candles. They burn fast. Sure. I'll explain what all that is in a minute. Thank you. They burn fast. I asked Colin to replace the candle when it was. If the candle burned down too. Thank you. So Elizabeth is pregnant with anybody? John the Baptist. The heavens are celebrating. People on earth are confused. The heavens are celebrating, and people on earth are worried. The heavens are celebrating, and people on earth are scared. Elizabeth is old and pregnant, and people are talking. Mary's young, unwed, and pregnant, and people are talking. God's not scared, folks. God's not worried. God's not confused. God's got this under control. God's got this, and God's got you. You believe me, church? Yeah, it doesn't always feel like it, though, does it? Yeah, because the gift of sovereignty that God gives to you and the awareness can not always feel like God's got you. He knows your circumstance. He knows your plight. He knows your deepest needs. Few people are going to be accepting of Mary and understanding of her situation. But Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And in a loud voice, our scripture declares, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears," she says, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is not a typical greeting given to an unwed pregnant teenager. What do you usually hear? You're cursed. In that time frame, you're definitely cursed. And you brought shame on the family. Your life is ruined. You dishonor all of us. That's what you usually hear. But here's Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, walking in a miracle herself, recognizes another miracle. Are you a miracle? I know this. It's going to take, if you want to have a Merry Christmas, it's going to take the Holy Spirit. Here's your next slide. A Merry Christmas is going to take the Holy Spirit. You're going to need the Holy Spirit of God to see what God is doing. Otherwise, you're just guessing. Otherwise, you're seeing it from a standpoint of your own flesh, and you're not seeing what God is seeing because he hasn't given himself to you. Talk about an intimate relationship with God. He desires to do this, but not all gifts given are received. Elizabeth welcomes Mary, the outcast, the talked about, the rejected, the trashy one. You know her. The unworthy one. You know, the sinner. Her. Most people avoid sinners. We're uncomfortable around them. Are you uncomfortable around sinners? Saint? Born again, Holy Spirit filled? Are you uncomfortable around sinners? People that dress different than you, vote different than you, eat differently than you, think differently than you about God, aren't committed to God like you are. Are you uncomfortable around sinners? That's not very Christ-like, is it? This could be a problem in your walk with the Lord. You know, you have to deal with the awkward situation at your family dinner with the atheist across the table is going to argue with you the entire night about there is no God. You know how you have to deal with the awkwardness being around the family table when the drunk uncle just keeps hitting on your wife? Not that I've experienced that, but I'm just saying. The awkwardness of being around sinners. Yeah, it's weird. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. See, Spirit became flesh. Jesus became flesh, started pursuing you. Oh, and do I say it? The sinner. Yeah. You, sinner. Came pursuing you. He was born for the sinner. He was born for you. God with us, Emmanuel, Spirit becomes flesh. Light in the midst of darkness to rescue the lost. He did not come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. He came to save those that would believe out of the condemnation. I do not think that we can do the work of Christ without the Holy Spirit of God. We certainly cannot know what God is up to. The work of Christ involves the sinner, the outcast, the unwanted, the rejected, the lowly. We need the Holy Spirit to have a good Christmas. We need the Holy Spirit to have a good understanding of what God is up to. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to inform us, to inspire us, to learn how we might have and live as God desires for us to live. And to learn how to ourselves give good gifts that aren't necessarily the gifts that are under the tree. Are you with me, church? Here's your next one. See, you're blessed if you can recognize the blessing. You are blessed if you can recognize the blessing. Elizabeth is blessed. She recognizes the blessing in her own life and in the life of Mary. While no one else would, while no one else does, she does. She recognizes it because she's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you blessed enough? Are you blessed that you might recognize the blessings of God that have come upon you? See, many do not know. Many even here, fighting, resisting the acceptance of the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And they cannot accomplish the work of God. To accomplish his work is going to take the Holy Spirit, and it's going to take humility. Now, here's your next slide. A Merry Christmas is going to take humility. And I spelled that correctly. Mary was not so proud that she would not lay aside all her own dreams, all her own ambitions, all of her own thoughts and desires to accomplish what God wanted. How about that? Her life was one of faithfulness toward God, a life dedicated to God, no matter what that meant. To follow God, even if it looked weird, even if it was difficult to accomplish. Even if she knew that it would cause her pain, even if she knew that it would be inconvenient, that it might cause shame and rejection in those people that are around her, Mary would follow God. What would turn you away? What would turn you away from following after God? Because he's asking you, will you follow me? Will you follow me? I have peace and hope and joy and love and peace that's bigger than this world. I'll show you things that are out of this world. I will grant you and give you eternal life far beyond your physical body. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Mary would follow God, surrender her life. Have you surrendered your life to that extent? To lay aside your own wants, desires, ambitions for his? If you really believe he has what's best in store for you as his creation, why not talk to the Creator about why you're here? Lay aside your own wants and desires. Set back. Let go of your own pride. Let go of your own ambition and do what God asks of you. Are you strong enough to walk in humility? Only the strongest can. Are you strong enough to walk in your faith when everyone around the table is saying, you're no good, you're a liar, I don't believe? Are you strong enough to walk in your faith, in your conviction? Are you strong enough to walk in the love of Christ, in the joy that God has imparted upon you? Are you strong enough to walk in the intimacy of God? Are you strong enough in your witness to go, Merry Christmas, to the cashier who's wearing a Happy Holidays button? Are you strong enough to sing out loud, to speak the name of Jesus, even if others judge you, even if others shun you, even if others will try to shame you because of it? A Mary type of Christmas takes humility and it takes strength. It takes joy and it takes courage. It takes intimacy and it takes conviction. With great joy, Mary was able to look past what the world might say about her and follow what God said about her. Are you? There's great joy, there's great peace, there's great hope in doing the will of God. Mary had this. Let's have a Merry Christmas. Huh? Your last one. It takes the heart of love. It takes the heart of love. They call that whole section that we read there Mary's song from verse 46. Mary's song. Her entire song is filled with these wonderful attributes of who God is. She just calls herself a humble servant and describes all the wonderful things that God is, who fills her heart with so much joy and with so much hope. She's beginning to describe it. You know what the world is saying about her? This God is merciful. This God is giving. And he's giving wonderful gifts. He's granting us that undeserved favor. We have not earned his love. We have not deserved his love to be reconciled back to him. He gives this love. It is a gift, an offering to you. God performs and does such great things. He's creator and sustainer. He upholds the laws of the universe. God breaks down the proud. He cuts off the wicked. This great God lifts up the humble, fills the hungry. This great God keeps all his promises. This is the God of Christmas that Mary's describing to you. This isn't some rambunctious, charismatic pastor. That's Mary describing God. This God of Christmas, this God that came for you. This is the God we celebrate. This is the God we throw parties for. This is the God we wrap gifts for and give things away because of. God wrapped himself up and gave himself away. And isn't that the greatest gift of all? When you're giving of yourself. That's a grand gift of love. And a gift from God we only need accept. Will you accept a gift today into your heart? All you need to go is say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. Say it with me. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I'll give you one more chance to say it or deny it. By not saying it, please be known you've denied it. Say it with me. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Is he your God? Is Jesus your King? Is he your Messiah? Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here in this place at this time. And Father, I'd pray that you might continue to do your works among each and every one of us in this place as we carry out the celebration of Spirit becoming flesh, the birth of Christ. So, Father, I pray that we would recognize the gifts that are given around us that don't always come in pretty wrapped bows and wrapping paper, that don't cost a whole lot of money, but they might cost something of ourselves. And so, Father, I pray that you might help us recognize what a good gift is. And, Father, may we receive them that we might give them away. I come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. All right. So we're going to do a candlelit service. And so that requires everyone's participation. And before I go into all the explanation, I want to make sure we know how to light a candle. Oh, you want to sing a song? Oh, Barbara wants to sing us a song. Is it okay if Barbara sings us a song?
Yes!
You've kissed
So when we sing Silent Night, Miss Barbara, I'm going to ask you to, you know, start us off. You know? But remember, we don't sing like you. Right? Okay. Just kind of throwing that out there for you. You bless my heart. You bless my heart. There's a lot of talent around us. A lot of people give their gifts back to God. I want to say thank you to Jody, who's back there running all that sound and doing all that kind of stuff, and Pat running the sound, the projection, and all that kind of thing. God bless you guys. Thank you. All right, so give me a second. I'd like to explain some things to you first. This is how you light a candle in here, okay? So we don't burn the place down. Okay? This candle, when it's lit, stays just like this. It always stays vertical like this, okay? And the unlit candle, guess what it does? It goes like this. This is what the unlit candle is, right? And then when that candle's lit, what does it do? It goes like this. And that's what it, and it stays like that. It doesn't go like that, right? It stays just like, and then the unlit candle comes like this, right? It does that. And then, we got it? All right. So here's something I want to try to explain to you as best I can. Some of you might even know this. I'm not really sure. Anybody know what this is? If you don't know church, and those that are regular that come here, then this is something we're going to try to do a little bit more often. But this is a Christingle.
A
Christingle. It's a Christingle. In 1746, a German bishop wanted to explain Advent to his children, and he didn't know how to do it. And in 1749, an orange was a very, very good gift, and a very pricey kind of gift. And it's becoming that way again, by the way. But the orange represents the world. The red ribbon, the blood of Christ, right? Covering the world. And the four toothpicks, basically, that I have, right? The four corners of the world, or the four seasons. And there's fruit, right? In this case, I have raisins and some fruity gummies and some cranberries. The fruit, the spirit, and the good gifts that God gives to the world. And of course, what would the candle be if I was to light it? What do you think? Jesus, the light of the world. And so, does everybody have candles that have, wants a candle? Okay, all right. Would you stand with me, please? We'll lower some lights. Turn them all off. It's all that you can. Kill them all. Is this okay, or do you want me to turn those off too? All right. Now, this is probably one of the most important parts, because to succeed, it requires all of us together. Okay? Barbara, we're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to pass around the light of the world. Barbara? There you go. Give us the right key, girl.
Silent night, holy night,
Father in heaven, in this place, this day, we declare that you are the light of the world. And Father, we pray that you would continue to shine brightly all around the world. And Father, would you shine within us that we might shine brightly for you and be ambassadors for you. The good and great gifts that you give, may we give them away. Come before you in the name of your Son. Merry Christmas. Like this. Yes, don't blow the wax on the person.